All right, let's take our Bibles, turn to Philippians. Philippians is a great book, isn't it? Philippians is full of joy, full of hope, full of God, a different perspective on life. It's not on? It sounds on. Well, he's going to make a change up there, and we're going to have lots of power. Right, Pete? Amen. Pete can hear me. Okay. Philippians chapter 3, and I'm going to begin reading in verse 4. Or excuse me, verse 7. Sorry. But what things were gained to me? Now, stop and think just a minute. What things throughout your life have been gain to you? Think about some of those things that might have been gain to you. Okay, you got those things in your mind? Everybody have them, right? We all have things that we think we've gained when we got those things. We gained when we got a house, a roof over our head. We gained when we got an automobile. We gained when we got a good job. We gained with a lot of different things in our life, right? Now he says, but what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things loss for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ. How many would give up your house for another Bible study? Well, he counts all things loss for the excellency of the knowledge, to gain more knowledge of God. Would you give up those things that you counted gain? Give up your car to go to Bible school. Give up your car to know just another little nugget about God. Now, I realize that pushing it way out there, but I think that sometimes we need to really think about this. Paul said he counted it all loss for the excellency of knowing or the knowledge of Christ, Jesus my Lord, of for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as rubbish that I might gain Christ. And be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith. Now, just a little history here. I've been told that at this time, Paul had probably been serving the Lord and ministering and preaching the gospel for probably about 30 years. How many of you have been saved, born again, over 30 years? Okay? All right? So, this is where Paul's at. He has been doing this a long time. He even, there's a place in the scriptures where it says that he doesn't know if he was in the spirit, if it was a dream, if it was a vision. He says, I don't know what it was, but I was caught up in the spirit to the third heaven. And God began to show me some stuff. Can you imagine how well Paul knew God? And then we read verse 10, and he says, that I might know him. That I might know God. And the power of his resurrection. And the fellowship of his suffering. Being conformed to his death, if by any means that I may obtain to the resurrection from the dead. Now, after all Paul had gone through for the Lord, Loss of everything. All these things that he did just to serve God. He was the guy that was beaten and put in jail with Silas. And he was the guy, in fact, that's where this book came out of, the Philippian jail. He was in that jail and they were praising God at midnight and singing psalms. And then God sent an earthquake. And through that earthquake, everybody in the jail's chains and bonds were busted off. And the jailer comes rushing in there and he kneels down before Paul and he says, "What must I do to be saved?" He gets the jailer saved. And I can imagine the people in the jail were kind of impressed with God too. And all of that. And then he writes to this same church. He says, "I want to know Jesus." "Well, I thought you did. I thought you did." Now, as we look at this, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, let's just stop and pray. Father, we just thank you for today. We thank you for the opportunity to read your word and, Father, to, Lord, I hopefully be motivated by your word, Father, to draw closer to you. And Lord, I pray that as we do, Lord God, that you will minister to each one of our hearts, teach us and strengthen us, Lord God. And Father, we want to give you the praise and the glory for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, Pete, do you love your wife as much today as you did when you first got married? You better say yes. More, right? Why? Because you've been through more, right? Because you know her more. Now, I would say Pete probably knows Lisa more than anybody else in this room. But we all know Lisa. Everybody know Lisa over here? This lady right over here? We all know Lisa, right? Okay, so we all know Lisa, but we don't know Lisa like Pete knows Lisa. Because Pete knows Lisa. Now, Paul knew God. Paul knew who Jesus was. At this time, Paul was probably one of the most educated men on the earth in the Bible about God. He knew all about God. But yeah, now he's praying, "God, I want to know you more." How can you know him more? Now, I can't prove this, all right? So I'm going to risk it. But I can't prove this, but I think we're going to spend eternity, billions and billions and billions of years, discovering who God is. Can you imagine how deep God is? There's so much about God. And yet, sometimes people in church, not you, but some people in church, they're just satisfied. "Well, yeah, I prayed that prayer. I'm going to heaven." And they're okay with it. And they are. I'm not saying they're not. But what I'm saying is, why would you be content with just being introduced to the God of the universe when he's inviting you to get to know him intimately? Why would we be satisfied with just knowing a little bit about him when there is so much that I think, now again, I couldn't put a scripture on this, but I think we're going to spend the rest of our life getting to know him for millions of years. And you know, just like Pete said, we know our mates, our spouses, better today than when we first got married because we have experienced so much with them. That's the way it is with God. We need to experience life with God. and watch what God can do in our life. I heard it said, I was born to know him, and I was born to be like him. I was born to know him. I was born to, think about that. You were born to know God. You were born to know God. And you were born to be just like God. Now, those are some thoughts. I mean, just think about those thoughts, those statements. I was born to know the creator of the universe. And he invites me in. Because he wants to know me. Remember in the garden, back in Genesis, okay, God would come down and talk with Adam when? Do y'all know when? In the cool of the evening, right? Why? Because he wanted to get to know him. Who initiated that relationship? God. God didn't leave Adam and Eve hanging. He came down and walked with Adam and Eve in the evening. God initiated that relationship. Adam didn't. Eve didn't. God did. Then, through all the mess in the Old Testament with sin and all that kind of stuff, then we get to the New Testament, and then God sends this other person to the earth, and he called him Emmanuel, which means God with us. God's initiating the relationship by sending Jesus to the earth again. God's initiating this relationship with us by sending Jesus to the earth to reveal himself to us so that we can get to know God. Isn't that an amazing thought? I mean, it's one of those thoughts that you just kind of have to sit and think about for a while because it's just like, wow, he did that for us. God wants to know you that much. We all know the scripture, John 3:16. Shall we say it together? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish. You're getting awful quiet. But have what? Okay, everlasting life. Now, in some translations, it says eternal life, right? Well, listen to this. I'm going all over on my notes, so I'll get back to the beginning here in a minute. But it says in John 17, verse 3, and this is eternal life. Remember, God sent his Son into the world to give us everlasting or eternal life. Now in John 17, 3, he says, this is eternal life, that they may know you. Jesus is praying to the Father in John chapter 17, and Jesus is praying. This is the night before he's crucified, and he's praying to the Father, this is eternal life, that they would know you. Father sent Jesus. Jesus went to the cross so that we could get to know him. This is eternal life, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent. How important do you think it is to get to know God? God wants us to get to know him. And I'm sure that a lot of us think we do know him. A lot of us probably think we really know him. I heard it said one time, they were talking about, if we were to put our spiritual education on the scale of like school, first grade to 12th grade, or even college. They said, wherever you put yourself, you're probably about 2 to 3 grades lower. And I thought, wow. Because don't we usually think better of ourselves than we should? That's why Paul said, don't do that. Don't think more highly of yourself than you ought. But we still do it. But we still think we know God. Now it says over in Psalms 103, verse 7, it says that God, he made his ways known to Moses and his acts to the children of Israel. Now, on that particular scripture, it almost puts it like there's a different level of knowledge. There's a different level. He made known his ways to Moses, and then he made known his acts to the children of Israel. Although Moses saw the same thing that everybody else did. Just Moses had a little bit better relationship with them than the complainers. So, there was a little different level of knowing God. And I'm not even sure I like that term level. But I don't know what other word to use. Because we're growing in intimacy with God every day. I mean, Pete's at a different level of loving Lisa than the rest of us. So that's kind of what I'm trying to get at. I mean, God is drawing us and calling us closer to him. Come up and know me. Know me. God wants us to know him. And so when we come to him and get to know him, he is drawing us to himself. Now, let me read this other scripture to you. We've been talking a little about loving one another and that kind of things. And we all kind of got a knowledge of that, what that would look like, right? So I think what we do is we apply that to our relationship with God. But now here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, it says, "For this reason I bow my knee to the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, from whom the whole family in heaven and earth are named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might through his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend or understand with all the saints what is the width, the length, and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God." Now, we all know the scripture says that God is love. And we all know God. So we know love. But Paul's praying here in Ephesians 3 that we would know him more. That we would know and understand what the width, the length, the depth, and the height of his love is. You know, I think I was never in war or battle. I wasn't in the military. But from what I understand is the people that went to battle, when they come off of the battlefield, their relationship with those people they were fighting with is so much stronger than it is with anybody else. Because they've experienced some things that nobody else has experienced with them. It's kind of like we said that our love grows, and it does. Because Lisa and I had our 43rd anniversary this year, and we have experienced things that nobody else has experienced with each of us. And so our love together is so much stronger than anybody else's love. And see, God wants us to experience life with him in those things, in those difficulties, in those trials. Psalms 23 says, in the trial, in the valley of the shadow of death, he is with us. Experiencing the struggle and the trial right next to us. Leading us through. Getting us to the other side. And then when we get to the other side, he sits down and he prepares a table before us. In the presence of our enemy. The one who just tried to kill you. He's not concerned about it. He's not concerned about the valley. He's more concerned with bringing you and I through the valley so we can have a meal on the other side. In the presence of the enemy. That's how much God wants to have a relationship with us. He wants that relationship with us to be strong, to know the love of Christ. To know the love of Christ is to know what Christ did for us. To know what Jesus did for us when he was here on the earth. To know what Jesus did for us on the cross. To know what Jesus did for us when he died and he was buried and then he rose again victoriously. To know him is to begin to understand what he did and why he did it. Not just to know him, but to know the Father, to know the Son, and to know the Holy Spirit. Let me read this. This was a final address, final baccalaureate, benediction to the Corinthian church in 2 Corinthians chapter 13. And he says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All the saints greet you. Now his last words says, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen. Now, did you notice that he included the whole Godhead? All three of them. He said, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. How many need a little bit of that? Amen. And the love of God, and we all need that. And the communion, the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Now, I think it's interesting. We want to get to know God. We read those scriptures. Yes, I want to know God. Yes, I want to know Jesus. I want to know this. But then when we jump to the Holy Spirit, it's like it's an afterthought. But do you realize that the Holy Spirit is part of the Godhead? And he just said, and the communion and the fellowship and the partnership with the Holy Spirit. God wants us to know him. And to know him is to know all three of them. Not just one of them. Not just Jesus. Yes, I'm saved. I know Jesus. He died for my sins. We can tell the stories. Not just Jesus, but God the Father. What do we know about God the Father? What do we know about Jesus? What do we know about the Holy Spirit? God wants us to understand so much more. In fact, John chapter 17, verse 3. Oh, no, John chapter 16. That's the one I want. John 16, verse 7. Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away. This is just before he goes to the cross. And he knows what's going to happen. He says, it's to your advantage. How many like advantages? That I go away. For if I do not go away, the helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Okay, in this verse, he's telling us the importance of the Holy Spirit. And then in the next verse, down in verse 12 and 13, it says, still I have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them. Think about it. You don't get it. You don't understand what I'm trying to say. I heard it said that the advanced teachings of Christ were given by Paul after Christ went to heaven, because he sent the Holy Spirit back down. Paul's teachings were teachings that just blew everybody's mind. And he says, I still have many things to say to you. This is the night before he's crucified. But you cannot bear them now. However, when he, the Spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth, for he will not speak on his own authority, but whatever he hears, he will speak, and he will tell you things to come. What Jesus couldn't tell the disciples, Paul did, and they still choked. They still struggled. Peter even said, the teachings of Paul are hard to understand. Why? Because they were choking on it. It can't be that good. It can't be that easy. It can't be the way you're saying. But yet Jesus had said, I've got things I want to tell you. You just can't get it yet. But after the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, and the Holy Spirit comes on Pentecost Sunday, or it wasn't Sunday, just Pentecost, then the Spirit was there to teach them. And it was hard to understand, but they did get it. They did end up getting it. And so the Holy Spirit is important to get to know. Too many people focus when we talk about this. They focus on the things they can't control. Well, you know what? Nobody ever put me in charge of the Holy Spirit. I mean, that's a God thing, not me. That's a God thing, not you. Quit trying to control the Holy Spirit and let him be God. You be you. And let God be God. We need to strive to know the giver, not the result. Paul said, I want to know you and the power. Which came first? The knowing came before the power. But for years, I was always looking for power. Don't look at me that way. You probably did the same thing. You want to do these great things for God, right? But he's calling us to know him. When we know him, the demonstration of him will come. Whether that be power, whether that be gifts, whether that be love, whether that be joy, whatever that demonstration of God is, and that's what they are, they're just demonstrations of God. When we see those demonstrations, we understand a little more about God. And so, I want to challenge you. And it does take time. I know people say, well, it's quality over quantity. No, you need some quantity to get to know God. You need some quantity time to get to know God. Take some time to get to know God, God's ways, and God's thoughts. The Bible tells us that God's ways are not my ways, and my ways are not God's ways. So I have to learn His ways. That's why Romans chapter 12, verses 1 and 2, he talks about, and if you read it in different translations, it'll say, basically, it says, stop thinking like the world and start thinking like God. Stop thinking like the world. Now, that's really hard for some of us because that's all we've ever learned. That's the only thing we've ever learned is to think like the world, because we were raised in the world for how many years before you gave your heart to the Lord? So, take some time to learn God's ways and God's thoughts. Get to know Jesus, what Jesus did for us through his work on the cross, through his death, burial, and resurrection. What did Jesus do for you? How has that event changed everything? And then he says it's only going to get better. Because when I go away, I'm sending the Comforter, the Holy Spirit, back. Take some time to get to know the Holy Spirit. What's the purpose of the Holy Spirit for in the earth today? Have I been resisting him? Have I been pushing him to the side because I don't trust what I've seen in other people? Do I know the Holy Spirit well enough to surrender and say, whatever you want, I'm ready? Let's get to know him. It's only going to get better, all right? So I want to close with the 2 Corinthians 13 benediction. And it says, finally, brethren, farewell. Be complete. Now, the word complete in this translation or in other interpretations or translations, it means to be perfect, be perfected, be mature, be filled with joy, be rejoicing, do only what is right, set things in order, aim for restoration. So when he says complete, he's telling you, grow up, be mature. Now, how many would like that as a benediction at a church? Okay, go in peace and grow up. Wouldn't that be fun? A way to start the week out. Well, that's what Paul's doing. He says, farewell, be complete. Then he goes on, he says, be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace will be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. And all the saints greet you. Grace and the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Amen.